Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hi, welcome to today's Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you've had a wonderful weekend. It's always good to have the opportunity to get together and share a conversation about real life issues. We look for ways to apply biblical principles to daily life here on the program Connecting Faith, and really at Faith Radio and all our programming, it's about connecting faith to life. Glad to have you listening in our conversation today. I think it's one that we can all relate to, whatever our status, whether we're a mom or not. We're going to highlight a book about facing and overcoming your real mom fears. We'll get to today's guest introducer in a moment. Just want to mention, my name is Neil Stavem, and happy to have Ted Ross back at the controls after a week away with family, right?
Yes, indeed. We had a wonderful opportunity to go to Haiti on a family mission trip and had some amazing ministry experiences there.
Definitely third world country situation.
Oh, yes. We were out there. No air conditioning, of course, in the heat of Haiti. And poured a cement floor for a church, did some VBS ministry with kids, and door-to-door tree planting ministry as well.
Yeah. And I know you're going to tell a little bit more about with Austin, what, this Friday?
So, this Friday he asked me to come on, so I'll share a little more in depth some of the stories and just what God did.
Yeah, we'll look forward to the slideshow. So I'll be having a staff meeting, so just something like
that. Sure, I can bring something in.
See all the pictures. Those can be kind of maybe fearful experiences. I mean, a little unsettling, unnerving.
So. Yeah, just stepping out in faith, trusting that our meals would be provided and, you know, that we won't get injured by any insects or otherwise, you know. And a lot of family members here were praying hard for us. I know maybe some that don't pray every day even necessarily, you know, because there's that fear factor.
Yeah, I remember when my daughter was in high school going on a church missions trip to Haiti and getting a call the night before they were supposed to be done from the conference director or whatever, or the youth leader said, you know, just want you to know your daughter's okay, but, I just kind of, so.
Oh, you know, boy.
Like, okay. All right. So we're going to talk about, maybe you've had a call like that, or you're someone who maybe it seems naturally gets a little bit of fear now and then. We're going to hear from a brave mom today. In fact, that's the title of her book, Brave Mom, Facing and Overcoming Your Real Mom Fears. Sherry Surratt is president and CEO of MOPS International, where she passionately pursues her love of moms and mom leaders every day. She has a background in education and church ministry, and it was through serving moms and families as the family minister pastor that she realized how critical the role of the mom is in the success of the family. And her most recent position prior to MOPS International was at the Leadership Network, where she was able to research and come alongside some of the nation's most influential women's leaders. Women leaders. She's author of Just Lead, a No-Nonsense Practical Guide for Women, Leaders in the Church, A Beautiful Mess, Motherhood for Every Moment, and then the book we're going to reference, Brave Mom, Facing and Overcoming Your Real Mom Fears. She's a proud mom of two adult children, and also has two granddaughters, and we are honored to have Sherry Surratt back with us today on Connecting Faith. Sherry, welcome to the program.
Hi, Neil. I'm so glad to be here today. Thanks for having me.
By the way, we do have some copies of Sherry's book, three copies that we'll give away here is when we have resources. We give them away at the end of the broadcast hour. And so if you'd like to sign up for that, you just give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. But I especially want to just do a shout-out to moms that have been involved in maybe MOPS groups in the past, or you're in one now, and just love to hear from you and say, hey, what has it meant for you to be together with other moms praying for your kids? And we'll find out a little bit about MOPS as we go along, but you know who you are. If you're in the group, I'd love to have you call 877-93-FAITH, say hey to Sherry, and enjoy our conversation together. Sherry, let's talk about the book, Facing Your Fears. I mean, moms, I guess, by nature, God-given nature, probably have concern, right? Maybe not necessarily worry, but, I mean, there is a mother instinct that is making sure that her kids are safe and protected, right?
Absolutely. You know, when you become a mom, your heart just is so totally given to that child, and you love them so completely, and you also are concerned about them, and you want to be the best mom that you can possibly be for that precious baby. And what we have found in talking to moms is in that concern, sometimes we can turn the corner to fear and to worry. And that's really why we wanted to write the book, Brave Mom, Facing and Overcoming Your Real Mom Fears. We really wanted to, first of all, just call it out and let moms know, if you worry, it's okay, and you are not alone. And one of the things that I would love, if a mom is reading the book, for her to be able to have those moments where she thinks, oh my goodness, I'm not the only one who worries about that. And no, you are not alone if you have fears and worries from time to time about your child.
Well, you use the phrase, or turn the corner. I thought that's probably a pretty good description, isn't it? Because there is a point where concern sort of maybe, you know, takes a turn that gives us anxiety.
That's right. And, you know, when you find yourself as a mom ruminating, kind of sitting in, you know, those fears and worries, and then it's not productive. And that really isn't where God wants us to live. And, of course, you are going to have moments when you worry. You're going to have a moment here and there of maybe even fear, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night, you know, concerned that something's going to happen or that something is happening, or, you know, when you're afraid of something that is to come. And we didn't write this book to stir fear in moms' hearts. What we did was we did some research and found out the top five fears that moms say they already have. And we kind of really just faced them head on to say, yeah, these are normal things to worry about, but here's what you can do. Because when we sit and ruminate, then and just sit in worry and let fear overtake us, it's not helpful. But there are just some practical things that you can do to turn your fear into hope.
We'll talk more about that as we go along, turning the fear into hope. But maybe just to set up the conversation, as you said, there were some top five fears. You know, some fears are, I guess, reasonable. Just talk about, maybe summarize what those were.
Yeah, the first one, when we talked to moms and we just surveyed many moms and we said, what are the things that keep you up at night as a mom? And the first one, it was really interesting because it wasn't about their children. It was about themselves. They said they worry that maybe they won't be enough as a mom. Maybe they won't have enough skill. Maybe they won't have enough experience. Maybe they won't have enough money to be able to provide for all the things their child will need. Maybe they won't have enough emotional resilience to be able to stand firm and tall in the moments when life gets really tough. And moms really, you know, back to what I said before, every mom wants to be a good mom. They want to be the best for their child. And in that sometimes comes those moments of, oh my goodness, am I enough? And the second fear that we found, and I think this one is representative of where we are in society today with all the social media that we are bombarded with, moms worry about what we call stranger danger, meaning they worried that with their child out and about that they might encounter someone who might harm their child. And moms worry sometimes that they can't control every moment of what's going to happen to their child when they're out of their sight. And we understand that because, you know, we're bombarded every day in the news and media and Facebook and things like that of stories when that does happen. But what we wanted to reassure moms in the book was, you know, almost 95% of what we worry about never happens. And that's why I think it's really important to be able to kind of face up what you're worried about and then figure out proactive ways, things that you can do to help you with your fear. The third top fear is worrying about my child might get hurt in an accident, in a car accident or an accident at school. The fourth one was worrying about my child may not fit in socially or might get bullied in different situations. And the fifth one was they worried about their child maybe facing a serious illness and they wouldn't know what to do, or even themselves as a mom facing a serious illness and not being able to take care of their child. And we surveyed all kinds of moms from all different kinds of backgrounds. Our moms that came from a Christian faith also worried about, how will I pass on my faith to my child? How will I share that appropriately and let them make the decision to follow Jesus Christ? And will I be able to have the words to say when those moments come?
Those are that's quite a list, and I think you know we can certainly resonate with that. That's sort of the challenges before us, the world in which we live, and the real mom fears that we have. How do we face and overcome them? We're going to talk about that in the moments ahead, and I want to encourage you to join in the conversation with us. Make a point to listen to if you've got time to just maybe pause whatever you're doing just to hear some encouragement from God's Word and from our guest today, Sherry Surratt, President and CEO of MOPS International, and she's authored this wonderful resource, Brave Mom, Facing and Overcoming Your Real Mom Fears. It doesn't matter if you're a new mom or a grandmom, there's some good words for you today. We've got some copies of the book to give away. You sign up for that at 877-93-FAITH. We've got three copies to give away. It's 877-933-2484. And if you have a question or a comment or maybe just a struggle that wasn't on this list that we touched on, we'd love to hear from you and join in the conversation at 877-93-FAITH. And if you're, especially if you've been in a MOPS group or are in a MOPS group, we'd love to hear from you. Just call and say hi. Thanks.
Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
The topic we're addressing today centers around fear and the fact that there are many fears that are real. But how do we face them and overcome them? I mean, that's where we want to be. We want to be brave moms. Well, we'll be brave dads, too. But we're getting some good insight from Sherry Surratt, President and CEO of MOPS International. And Sherry has led in family ministries for a number of years and in this key role at MOPS International. And Sherry, maybe before we get back to talking about facing and overcoming fears, say a word about MOPS International. There may be some people that aren't familiar. What is MOPS all about?
Yeah, and first of all, I just want to say that MOPS stands for Mothers of Preschoolers. Sometimes people will hear that title and they'll ask me, is that a cleaning company? And no, indeed, it's not. What we do is every day we think about the mom of young children, of a baby, all the way up through the years when her child is in kindergarten, because we know that that is a very particular season. It can be isolating. If the mom is staying home full time with her baby or her preschooler, then she is isolated sometimes from adult human contact during the day. Or we also know that during that season, they have many more demands on their time from their baby and their child. There's potty training and all the things that you need to know with moving to solid foods and walking and tantrums and all of those really interesting things. And so we know that there are many things pulling on a mom in that season. That's why we offer MOPS. We come alongside churches and help them host just a wonderful life-giving group for the mothers of preschoolers in their area. And we really are an outreach strategy for churches because there are moms in your community who really are not drawn to come to your church on Sunday, but they will come to a group where they can meet other moms in the same season of life to be able to have very meaningful conversations. And we provide curriculum that helps a mom be a better mom, helps her be a better woman and a leader and a wife. And within that, we kind of bring into the conversation, what does God have to say about all those areas of your life? And hopefully then coming into that group and knowing the moms and making friends, that then she will choose to join that church and be part of a great body of believers.
The wonderful outreach and a really an encouraging ministry, and recommend it to you. Is it just MOPS, M-O-P-S, O-R-G, or what's the web address?
Yeah, our website is MOPS.org, M-O-P-S.org. And if you are a mom listening that thinks, I'd like to be part of a MOPS group, you can hop on our website and put in your zip code under our search for a group site, and we'll tell you the MOPS groups that are near you. And if you are someone who's thinking, you know what, our church needs a MOPS group, You can also contact us through our website, and we will help you get one started. We really are mom group in a box, if you will. We provide everything you need, including coaching and leadership training, as well as the materials that you use to actually host your group. And it is such an incredible experience for moms who step up into leadership at their moms group. We have moms who will come back and tell us, I had no idea I was a leader. And through MOPS, I began to realize the incredible leadership potential that I had. And we just hear wonderful stories.
By the way, if you are in a MOPS group or have been in one appreciate the heart of MOPS, we'd love to have you join the conversation. 877-933-2484. Maybe you're been a MOPS leader and you'd like to just say hey to Sherry as the president and CEO. You got a little access here time. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number. And Sherry, before we go and talk a little bit more about, you know, brave mom facing and overcoming your real mom fears, I'm just curious. I know you did some surveys for this book, but do you have a sense of maybe if these fears or concerns are different today than they were maybe a couple of decades ago?
Yeah, you know, I compare kind of these top fears with the way that I felt and talked with some of our older moms that are kind of in my stage of life of being a grandma. And I think that first one maybe is a little bit different, the fear of not being enough as a mom. You know, I think every mom wants to be her best, but I think just kind of the way society goes, again, with social media and how we tend to compare ourselves now with other moms who are on social media or Instagram or Facebook. And I think we do a little bit more comparing with other moms now, which causes that fear. We tend to look at another mom and think to ourselves, wow, you know, on Facebook, her life sounds so wonderful. Or, wow, look at the ideas of the crafts and just incredible birthday parties that she's throwing for her child. And it makes us sometimes feel less. And I think there's a little bit more pressure today than there was when I was a mom of young kids. And here's something that we love to tell moms. It is so true. There is no perfect to achieve. There is no such thing as the perfect mom, but you are already the perfect mom for your children because God gave those kids to you. No matter how they came into your household, whether by birth or adoption, whether they were planned or unplanned, it didn't surprise God that they came. And He has already equipped you as a mom to have the emotional resilience and the skills that you need when you lean on Him to raise beautiful, healthy children.
Well, that was kind of Ruth's question. She called in from Canton, South Dakota, and was wondering, you know, why are there so many women nowadays who are so insecure when it comes to raising children? And that's a challenging word. You offer in the book, I think, sort of five different, what do you call them, five attributes, I guess, that help moms in that chapter where you're talking about what if you're not enough. Say a little bit more about those.
Yeah, you know, it is common, I think, to worry about, am I enough? And, you know, the three beautiful truths, two of which I mentioned a while ago, the three beautiful truths of mommyhood are there is no perfect to achieve. The second one is you already are the perfect mom for your kids, even though you never will be the perfect mom because there is no such thing. And God gave you your children. The third truth that goes with that is if God made you a mom, then He's got your back. He loves you. He delights in you, even though He knows all of your imperfections and your weaknesses. You know, I love the verse in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, that talks about God is with you wherever you go. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. And, you know, for moms, I think that's a really important verse to camp out on because, especially as a new mom, you can feel like your life is just a mess. You didn't even have time to shower. You're going through life in your jammy pants. And, you know, you haven't had time to fix your hair. And you can really feel like just a failure as a woman because of the pressures on you as a new mom. And I think camping out in the verses where God talks to us about, oh, no, daughter, I delight in you and I love you and I don't expect you to be perfect. come, he calls us and woos us and calls us to lean into him for strength and just to be reminded that he delights in us, as Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says. And, you know, we talk in the book about just some practical things that you can do. One of the things, obviously, is to get in a group like MOPS where you can lean in and talk with other moms, especially if you are feeling less than enough. You know, sometimes moms will say, oh, I don't want to get together with other moms because that's going to make me feel even worse. That's what MOPS is all about. We really encourage moms to get real. Let's not pretend. Let's not put on false faces. Let's really talk about just real life and admitting, yeah, I don't do things perfectly. Yeah, I have fears. Yeah, this is what I do about it. And we lean in and we help each other. That's really important for moms to do.
Is within that group, is there a role for a mentor as well? Is that something that's maybe separate but important as well? Maybe someone who's been down the journey before you?
We have positions in MOPS groups called mentors. And I love this group of ladies. They are older, more experienced moms who have wisdom to bring to the group. And they don't come to tell you how to be a mom. What they do come prepared to do is to put their arm around you and say, it's okay. I was there. I know exactly how you feel. And just to offer to pray with you. And really, that's what I love about MOPS is you don't have to come all wrapped up in a neat Christian package. You can come just as you are, whether you know Christ, whether you attend a church or not, no matter where you are welcome in a MOPS group. And mentors really serve a big purpose in that they bring wisdom, they bring calmness, they bring stability, they bring just the power of prayer into that MOPS group. I so remember being a young mom with my first child, who Michael, who was very colicky as a baby and screamed all night long and had his nights and days flipped. And, you know, if anyone would have asked me on any given day, do you feel like a good mom? I would have said, no, I'm a failure. I can't even get my child to sleep. But I remember an older woman coming alongside me, putting her arm around me and saying, give me that precious baby. Let me hold him just for a few minutes. And you go have a few moments to yourself. And, you know, just remember that you are a good mom. And that's what mentors do. They're so incredibly helpful. And I'm so thankful for them in MOPS groups. Mm-hmm.
Talking with Sherry Surratt, President and CEO of MOPS International. It's for mothers of preschoolers. You find out more about their wonderful work at mops.org. Hopefully there's a MOPS group in your neighborhood, or maybe you can start one in your church. You can see the difference it would make, just even as a community outreach for moms looking to be, you know, the best they can be. We're going to talk about facing and overcoming your real mom fears. That's the subtitle of the book, Brave Mom, written by Sherry. Got some copies available. Sign up for your name in the drawing and give us a call. You have a question, 877-933-2484. It's 877-93-FAITH. Text for that song comes out of Psalm 23, right, where the good shepherd promises to lead us beside the still waters and restore our souls. And even if we're in the presence of evil, we fear no evil because God is with us. We're talking about being a brave today. Brave mom, facing and overcoming your real mom fears. Sherry Surratt, president and CEO of MOPS International, is the author of this wonderful resource. You can find out more at mops.org about their great work and how you can get connected in your community, mops.org. If you are in a MOPS group, we'd love to hear from you. Just a call and say hello. It's 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. You might have a question as well or a concern. In the book, Sherry, you referenced the Serenity Prayer. And I'm wondering, is that a helpful strategy for managing fear? Maybe just to review that.
Yeah, it really is. I found the first part of this serenity prayer really helpful when just really looking at mom fears. It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. I think, you know, three important words in that prayer, serenity, God's peace. God, give me the peace to accept the things that I can't change. You know, there are real fears out there. There are things that really cause us worry. We hear stories on the news. We see things that happen, and it strikes fear in our heart. And, you know, the peace of God that passes our understanding is so real and available to us. The next line says, the courage to change the things that I can. You know, just praying for God's peace and then just sitting back is not the whole answer. I think we really need to ask God for courage to face the things that we're afraid of and to do what we can to make life as safe as possible for our child, and then to let it go. You know, once we've done all we can, it doesn't help to continue to worry about things. And then that third line, and wisdom to know the difference. You know, I referenced a statistic a while ago that said upwards of 95% of what we worry about never happens. And, you know, if you stop and think about, when's the last time that you really, really worried about something? And did everything that you worried about, did it really come to fruition? Probably not. And to think of all the moments that we have made ourselves miserable in worrying about things that never happened. I try to use that as a forward strategy. And I have talked with my kids about this too. I'll say, remember when you were so nervous about starting school? And then when you started, you loved it. Because many times things will turn out so much better than what we really worry that they might. And, you know, in that serenity prayer, God does offer us peace. He does give us courage when we ask, and he does fill us full of wisdom. But we really need to ask for those things from him.
You know, when I asked the question about is the serenity prayer helpful in managing fear, I was thinking, well, is it managing fear we're trying to do, or is it suppress it or eliminate it, or do we embrace it? I mean, what would be a proper biblical perspective when we're dealing with fear?
Yeah, you know, I think it's easy to kind of initially think, oh, I should never be afraid. God doesn't want me to be afraid. Shame on me for worrying and being afraid. And I love Psalm 56:3. Where David just calls out and he says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. That's David acknowledging, I have fear. And God doesn't respond with shame. He doesn't say, oh, shame on you for feeling like that. God comes back with great verses to say, in your time of fear, I will hold your right hand. I will be with you. And I really think that, you know, a great strategy for moms is not to pretend, not to try to eliminate it, but to acknowledge and to bring it to our God who completely understands, and he will replace it with his peace. And I think it's a daily deal. You know, it's funny that I wrote this book because I would classify myself as a worrier, and I really just thought about that as I wrote this. I thought there are other moms out there like me, and they need to hear a mom say, yep, I worry too, but I hold God's hand tight, and he does give me peace. He does give me courage. He does give me wisdom, but it's a daily thing. Wouldn't it be great if I could just come to the Lord and say, okay, God, just take away my fear and never let me face it again. But God doesn't do that for us because he wants us daily to call on him. And, you know, we think that, you know, to be totally free of fear would be a great gift. I think actually it would get in the way of our total dependence on God. And that is true freedom when we really realize dependence on God is where I need to live every day.
And we talk about the book is really full of practical things that you can do to help you face and overcome your real mom fears. A couple of little things you mentioned sort of almost in passing, but you talk about doing a laundry sort and then frisking our thoughts at the door. Say more about those two things.
Yeah. You know, I think fear lives in our thoughts. And, you know, if we keep it there long enough, then it settles into our heart. And I think just one of the practical ways we can think about fear when it enters our head is kind of like a laundry sort. You know, when we sort through our laundry, there are times when I will come upon things in the laundry and I'll think, I don't need to wash this because I need to get rid of this. This is tattered and torn, and I don't need to keep this anymore. And I think we can do that with our thoughts as well. You know, in our laundry, there are wonderful pieces of clothing that we really want to take care of. And those are the good thoughts, the thoughts that come from God, the thoughts that are encouraging from other people, the thoughts that we can kind of ruminate on that really do give us confidence and peace. Those are the keepers. So we put those in a laundry sort in the pile of, oh, we're going to wash that and be very, very careful. But then there are those items, those thoughts that come that just are dark thoughts that discourage us. And those are the ones that we need to just cast over our shoulder like an old worn nightgown that we need to throw away. Because if we hold on to it and we keep it, it's not going to serve us well. And it's going to lead us where I call, you know, on a ride on the crazy train. So, you know, and we've all had those moments as moms where we've gotten carried away with our fears and we start thinking irrational things. And I think, you know, sorting those thoughts, and along with that, frisking the thoughts when they come to the door of our mind, we can't necessarily control every thought that hits us. And I don't think that we need to feel guilt when a worry comes, when a thought comes, but we can just kind of stop in those moments and say, where is this voice? Where is this thought coming from? Is this from God? Is this a good, encouraging thing he wants me to think about? Or is this going to just strike fear in my heart? And we can frisk it and we can say, no, this isn't a voice that I want to let come inside of me. I'm going to stop it right here at the door of my mind, and I'm not going to think about it anymore. I'm going to replace it with other more positive things that will steer me in the right direction. And this is where I use scripture in my life. I write favorite scriptures on cards. I keep them in front of me. I'll pull them out of my purse at different times because I'm not a great memorizer. And I think it's okay if you're not a great memorizer. I think you can hide verses in your heart by writing them on a card that you read often. Isaiah 41:13 is one of my favorites, where it says, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." I picture in my head God holding me by my right hand, just like when I was a little girl and I would take my dad's hand when I would get afraid in a thunderstorm. I can take God's hand. He holds my hand. He promises he will. And it reassures me, I am not alone.
So I hope those good kind of visual reminders, those metaphors will help with doing a laundry sort and frisking our thoughts at the door, and then just to picture that picture of, you know, a little girl, a little boy holding on to dad's hand, Isaiah 41:3 can make a big difference for you. Mm. Sherry Surratt, my guest today. We're talking Brave Mom, Facing and Overcoming Your Real Mom Fears. We've got some copies of the book to give away. It's 877-93-FAITH. And you can join us with a question or comment as well, 877-933-2484. You mentioned just the phrase about, you know, easy to get your thoughts get you carried away. And I was thinking there's probably a few husbands that have said a time or two, maybe too casually, but, oh, don't worry about it. So what's your advice to husbands when maybe mom's going through one of her real mom fear moments?
Yeah, and, you know, I think sometimes dads, it's painful for them to see us, their wives, go through fear and go through times when we're kind of, you know, just tormenting ourselves with our own worries. And I think it's very tempting for a husband to say, honey, don't worry about that. But what my husband does that is most helpful for me is he'll just take a minute, he'll pause and he'll say, tell me why you're afraid of that, or tell me what worries you most about that. And then sometimes just hearing the words coming out of my mouth out loud kind of brings it down to size. I tell the story in the book about having a fear of flying. And I would go through turbulence. And one time I was sitting with my husband. We were going through a terrible windstorm coming out of California. And I told my husband, I said, I do not like this. And he said, well, what's scary about that? And I talked about it a little bit. And then he said, you know what? This is turbulence. It'll be over in a minute. And with that, he kind of put a name on it. It kind of helped bring it down to size. And sure enough, the turbulence ended before too long. It wasn't fun to go through it. I don't like to go through it, but I began to realize, you know what? It's a part of flying. And because it doesn't feel good, doesn't mean that it's going to ruin me. And I think fear is that way too. My husband also every morning puts his arms around me and prays for me as I go out the door to work. And, you know, to you that are listening, if you're a husband and you are a believer, I just encourage you to do that. Wrap your arms around your wife. Pray God's protection over her mind and her heart before she leaves in the morning. If you're a woman listening today and maybe your husband is not comfortable doing that, you know, you can do that over yourself in the morning before you go. Just say, God, protect my heart from any fear or any worry that might come my way today as a mom or whatever I'm going to encounter today.
Encouragement today from Sherry Surratt, who's the president and CEO of MOPS International. We're talking Brave Mom, facing and overcoming your real mom fears. We'll talk more in a moment, maybe address one of the areas that you might be dealing with if you're parenting a challenging child. I mean, all children are challenging from time to time. At least the ones that I'm aware of, maybe yours weren't, which should, you know, make all the rest of us insecure. So don't call and tell us that if that's the case. But you can join the conversation otherwise at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Brave Mom today with Sherry Surratt, President and CEO of MOPS International. It's the title of a great book she's written, Brave Mom, the subtitle, Facing and Overcoming Your Real Mom Fears. And we've had a conversation about some of those real fears and also about how God's Word can provide us the antidote, the encouragement, the strength that we need to get through. Talking about fears, there's maybe another emotion that comes up. I was thinking about you address parenting the challenging child in the book. And, you know, we've all had times when our child pushes our buttons and maybe we move from fear to anger. And just say a word about how we face that issue.
Yeah, you know, I think our children really become experts in knowing which button to push to really kind of knock us over the edge. And, you know, if that's where you're living today, if you happen to be listening and you have just a child that is very challenging, you know, because you get angry, because you sometimes really get frustrated with this child, it doesn't mean that you don't love them. And so I think, you know, kind of coming to terms with that, that frustration and even just feeling moments of anger with your child are very normal. And I think admitting them, and, you know, I think it's okay as a mom to give yourself a timeout. In fact, I think that's very healthy to, when things are escalating, to remove yourself, put your child in their room, or if you have a friend or a spouse who can take the child for a little bit, to give yourself a timeout, to be able to kind of get your emotions back under control. And to remind yourself of the wonderful attributes of your child because they are there. I also think it's really important to know when it's time to seek professional help. We, with our daughter Brittany, she was experiencing some panic attacks when she was in middle school. We didn't really know what they were, and she felt like she was having a heart attack. And we went and talked to a psychologist. And just really kind of leaned into their wisdom. And there's no shame in doing that, in talking to a pediatrician or talking to a counselor or psychologist to get some wisdom about what is going on with your child if you are really concerned, and getting some wisdom there. I think one of the really important things you can do is seek out another mom who might be experiencing some things from a challenging child as well, so that you can just kind of lean into them and share your concerns and hear their heart. And it kind of helps normalize things, because it's really frustrating. It's really scary to feel like I'm the only mom who's dealing with this. And reality is no, you're not. There are other moms who are dealing with situations that are similar to yours, may not be exactly the same, but other moms who can give you wisdom. I think you need to be careful there too. When you lean into another mom, and we encourage that a lot here at MOPS to lean into other moms, pick a wise voice, pick a calm voice. Sometimes you can get together with another mom and you can feel like it makes it worse, that they're leading you down a hysterical trail. Pick a calm voice, a voice of wisdom, someone who can pray with you, someone who maybe can lead you to some other great professional people to talk to. And, you know, I think what I want to say to moms who are dealing with a challenging child is you are not alone, and don't ever try to handle things completely on your own. Lean into the God that is there, cry out to him in prayer, and lean into otherwise mentors, friends, and professionals that are there to help.
Say more about, you know, the part that prayer plays in reducing anxiety, maybe redirecting our thoughts. So is it okay if our prayers are, you know, just sort of, Lord, help, I don't know what to do? I mean, or are there some specific ways we have to pray, or maybe praying through Scripture? What do you recommend?
You know, this past weekend at my church, my pastor just gave a great message talking about sometimes we misinterpret the verse in 1 Corinthians that talks about God will not put us under more temptation than we can stand. And that verse is very true, but we interpret that sometimes to say, God will not ask me to do anything that is bigger than what I can handle. And he talked about how in the Bible, Moses was called upon to do something that was bigger than he could handle, which was to lead the children of Israel across the desert and to face Pharaoh. And Peter was called to jump out of the boat and walk on the water. These were things that were bigger than these men were able to handle. And my pastor talked about sometimes our prayer needs to be, God, I cannot do this on my own. I need your help. And I have prayed that prayer many times, even recently. And I think that's a great prayer to pray. I think God wants us to run to him when we feel overwhelmed. And he promises he will be there. He will give us the help that we need. We need to patiently ask. We need to wait on him. In our prayer times, it's okay to just simply say, God, I don't know what to do. I need you.
You know, one of the responses when you did in surveys of, you know, what moms are concerned about was maybe your child's not going to fit in, or he's going to be bullied, and there's also the sort of facing a serious illness possibility. And, you know, there's really no greater hurt than a parent hurting for their child when our child's hurting. And just, you know, say we're talking about worry and fear, but, you know, hurting for our children is difficult, too. What encouragement do you have to moms today that are maybe just hurting for their kids?
Yeah, and, you know, that's a very common thing, isn't it? Moms everywhere will resonate with, you know, the statement that I say, it's so painful to see your child go through pain. And as a mom, we so want to step in and rescue them, and that's not always the best thing to do. I remember watching my daughter struggle in when she was younger, just with friendships and social situations where she was so unsure of herself. And she had a little nervous habit where she would just kind of pick at her fingers. And when I would see that, literally my heart would break. And my husband helped me here. He would step back and he'd say, you know, she has to figure out what to be able to do in situations like that. We can't always rush in and rescue her. We need to be there for her to come and talk to. But to come in and rescue and try to solve that and live her life for her would be a mistake. And he kind of helped me realize identifying with their pain is not a healthy thing, that all of us have to face hard things Now, for bullying and situations in school, of course, you don't want to ignore it. You want to sit down and talk with the school and be an advocate for your child. I was a public school teacher and an administrator early in my years. And teachers can be an incredible resource, but sometimes you have to go even farther than that and seek additional help. But I think it's great a question to just ask yourself, am I over-identifying with their pain, and am I trying to solve their pain for them? I think we need to be there for a child, but not step in and solve every situation that they face.
Well, maybe it reminds us, too, that it's easy to get sort of our identity becomes wrapped up in our children, right? And we have to, I know you address that in the book, too, about, you know, a brave mom is going to be one who invests in themselves a little bit as well.
Oh, they absolutely are. This is so important. And, you know, moms are so great about putting others first, putting their children first, putting their husband first, putting others first. And what a wonderful thing. God kind of wired our loving hearts to be that way. But within that, we can forget that we are a person ourselves. We are a woman. We have things that we love to do. And, you know, one of the best ways that you can be a great mom for your children is to also invest in yourself. Think about the things that you loved to do before you had kids, and provide a little bit of time here and there to continue to do those things. I was talking with a mom who said, as a little girl, she used to love to do what she called nothing books, meaning just cut favorite pictures out of magazines and put them in these little paper books. And it really didn't mean anything. That's why she called them nothing books, but they gave her pleasure. And so she said every once in a while, she just does that. She flips through magazines and cuts things out, pictures that bring joy to her heart, and pastes them into little paper books. Silly, but something that just brings her joy for no other reason other than just the pleasure of doing it. I also talk about in the book that I used to love to swing when I was little, and just gave that up. You know, when you become a mom and a grandmom, sometimes you begin to think, oh, I shouldn't be doing childish things anymore. Sometimes taking a moment to do a childish thing that brings joy to us is so good. I stopped at a park not too long ago and just got out and swung on a swing. And I hadn't done that in years. And I realized really quickly that my bottom half of me is bigger now than it used to be when I was a little girl. I didn't quite fit as well into that swing. But, oh, just the feeling of the wind in my hair reminded me, you know what? Life is good. Life is fun. And I think sometimes we need to do that as moms. Get back in touch with the things that bring us joy. Develop ourselves. Spend time on hobbies that develop us. And, you know, it's really healthy for our kids to see us investing in ourselves as people because it reminds them to do the same.
Sherry, only got about 30 seconds left. I'm wondering if you can just remind us again of Zephaniah 3:17. That's such a good verse, a good way to close out today's show, I think.
Oh, I love Zephaniah 3:17 where it says, "The Lord is with you wherever you go. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you, and he will quiet you with his love. He rejoices over you with singing." And moms, that verse is for you today. He rejoices over you with singing.
Good word today from good words, a lot of good words there. Practical help from Sherry Surratt, President and CEO of MOPS International. The book is called Brave Mom, Facing and Overcoming Your Real Mom Fears. It's from Zondervan. And if you want to find out more about the good work of MOPS, get plugged into a group near you. Go to MOPS.org and find out where there's one in your neighborhood. If you missed part of today's show or you know somebody that could really use some encouragement from our conversation, go to our website. We post the interviews online. Go to MyFaithRadio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page to find the podcast archive.